Do you remember when Sir David Attenborough highlighted the massive problem of marine plastic pollution in his Blue Planet 2 programme that showed poignant footage of a whale carrying around her dead calf, which in all likelihood had been poisoned, he said, by pollution? Millions saw that footage and were appalled to learn that as much as 10 million tonnes of plastic waste ends up in the oceans every year. But is this peak plastic now? And how do we predate the problem? Peter Hackers from Monmouth University works on environmental politics and global environmental sustainability.
Plastic pollution is ubiquitous, and it's very hard to be able to solve the problem after it has occurred. So while there are projects to go scoop up plastic on the surface of the ocean, that scratches the surface because there is so much plastic pollution. A lot of it's on the bottom of the ocean. A lot of it's being ingested by marine life, and it's causing major problems environmentally, and health concerns alone are gigantic. And nowhere does it seem to be the case where we're actually regulating it. The petrochemical industry, one executive said, we need to make plastics fantastic again and get the idea of marine plastic pollution out of the minds of people. But right now, there's thinking about regulating plastics under an international treaty. But what that looks like is totally up for debate. Is it going to be where, as the plastic industry would like us to think, simply, hey, increase and improve recycling? That means that there's no onus on them. And also, most plastic is not recycled at all and cannot be recycled.
How regulatable, then, do you think the industry actually is? Because it's global. And different jurisdictions, as we know, have different commitments to the welfare of the environment and even to humans.
I think you'd have to regulate it at the source. So here we're talking about petrochemical plants. And if you're going to make an international treaty, then domestically, each country would have to make sure that they're doing their job and keeping tabs on those plants. But it's going to be tough to regulate it effectively.
Do you think we're sort of fiddling while Rome burns a bit then? When we see COP happening in the Middle East, for example, and we're worrying about carbon emissions, should we not also have COP for plastic? Because arguably there's 8.3 billion tonnes of the stuff been produced since the Second World War. A very significant proportion we know ends up in the ocean, and we think it's going to be there for a really long time. Those are characteristics which are not that dissimilar to what we're doing with carbon emissions.
Exactly. And so my colleagues have argued that we're essentially creating empty institutions, institutions being rules here, treaties, we're talking about international rules that simply do not regulate, that we get together and agree to do nothing.
Why have we allowed this to happen? Can you give us a sort of snapshot of how this whole situation and the sorry state of where we are today has evolved and why we've allowed ourselves to get into that position?
Well, from the perspective that I take in the paper, we've evolved to this place because of the way in which capitalism has developed. It's become less and less regulated by social and environmental protections. It's kind of getting more and more free rein. The way in which the economy works is less and less embedded in these social rules.
So plastics are kind of a symptom of, I don't want to use the word economic success because you're arguing it's actually that that's causing the problem, but you see what I'm saying. So the more the economy grows, the more the plastic problem grows. One would expect that relationship, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. In modern capitalism, they're tied together. They've co-evolved so tightly. It's hard to imagine even operating in a single day without using plastic yourself as a, you know, just there's a journalist who tried and he couldn't do it.
It is a fantastic material, though. As that petrochemical company said, plastic fantastic, apart from being a brilliant rhyme. It is an amazing material. It does so many things that are very hard to replace, which is why it's become ubiquitous. But therein lies the Achilles heel, because it's poisoning the environment because of its amazing characteristics that make it very attractive to us.
Yeah, so it's lightweight, it's durable, and you can use it to, say, protect food, and it's certainly essential in the medical field. So there's no denying those things. But the perspective in the paper is that the plastic production needs to be wrapped around social and environmental protections, rules, you know, that has to be regulated. And if it's not, then we're going to have the problem that we do.
It does boggle my mind, though, because I go shopping and I come home with the ingredients to cook, say, Sunday lunch, and I end up with a rubbish bin full of packaging. It didn't used to be like that. So why has this taken off? Why has this happened? And why am I routinely throwing all that plastic away? I would very happily have that stuff, carrots even, not wrapped up in cling film. I'd much rather not have all the plasticizers and just have a paper bag. Why is this happening? What's driving it, and how do we predate it?
I think that's a great question. I mean, first of all, cost, right? So it's very cheap. And then in the mind of some consumers, your carrots are safer to eat because they've been wrapped in plastic, even though that's not the case. But certainly it has grown in use because it's so cheap and effective.
So is the way to solve it then a bit like we're having a sugar tax to deter people from drinking unhealthy pop and cola drinks and so on? We need a plastic tax. And if you're going to wrap your chicken in plastic, then you need to have a reasonable understanding of microbiology and why it's safer to do that than to just sell your chicken unwrapped and so on.
I guess that's an option. Personally, I would think it'd be more effective to really get at the source instead of the consumer. So the industry, I think we need our eyes on the industry.
But the industry, the petrochemical industry, this is often a byproduct. The things that build plastics are byproducts of making the fuels that go in our cars, aren't they? And so they will argue, well, what are we going to do with them otherwise? We'll burn them then. And then you'll say, well, I'm just trading one problem to solve another.
That's right. The byproduct of jet fuel is the source of plastic. And that gets to kind of another issue, is that fossil fuel needs to be left in the ground. And so we need to switch and decarbonize the economy and change the way your car works.
Peter Hackus there.